That's really good. Ladies Fellowship, had our VBS meeting, and there's still a few places, but we got most of the spots signed up for VBS, but we can always use help, so there's always room for helpers. VBS is June 9th through 11th, 6 o'clock in the evening to 8 o'clock in the evening, and then camp is going to be June 21st through 26th, and I think everybody that wants to be signed up is signed up, but if you're not, tell me so I can get you signed up. And that is, camp is for 7th through 12th graders, by the way. It's for the high school or the senior type kids this year. Genesis chapter 18 is where we are. Talk about Abraham and his hospitality. Abraham and, you know, going back through and reading the Bible to study and to teach and not just read and, you know, get what's going on. You see details. I see details that you don't pick up on, that I didn't pick up on. And I guess that's true every time you go through the Bible. You learn more and more, and the Lord puts some more on your plate there. And in this episode in Abraham's life, you got these men that show up. Three of them. It looks like two of them are angels. One of them is the Lord. But they're not. I always read this chapter, and the way I read it seemed like, you know, they showed up to Abraham, and they were at Abraham's tent, and, you know, they were visiting with Abraham. But when these men show up, they're not going to Abraham's house. They're going to Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham is the one that kind of tracks them down and says, hey, can you come to my house, and I want to feed you, I want to take care of you, I want to make sure you have, you know, your feet washed. And so he takes care of these men, and, you know, he knows who they are. They're it looks like a couple angels and the Lord, however that works. But he knows they're men from God, and so he invites them in, and he makes a place for the Lord's messengers, Lord's servants, in his own home. And his kindness gets rewarded. He gets more details on the promise that had been made to he and Sarah. And that's a result of his hospitality. And I thought that was kind of an interesting thing. Like I said, I always read this, and it was like, okay, here's an episode where these angels show up to Abraham and they start giving Abraham some information, but that's not what's happening. These angels and these men are just going to Sodom. And Abraham is the one that runs them down and invites them to his house. His kindness is rewarded with some details about Isaac and the promised seed, so to speak. And the Lord sort of has a conversation with himself after Abraham invites him in and thinks, you know, I ought to tell Abraham what I'm doing here. And so he tells Abraham, we're going to Sodom to see if the wickedness is what we're hearing it is. And that's when Abraham prays and asks the Lord, if there's 50 righteous in Sodom, will you save it? And he goes through, and this is the chapter here. I gave you basically a rundown of the whole chapter. The subject we're going to talk about is Abraham's hospitality, because that sort of sets in motion the whole chapter. And let's read a couple verses. We'll read verse 8 here in Genesis chapter 18. And kind of get a sense of where we're at here. Verse 1, the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door. So if you're running to meet him, that means they're not at the doorway. He's going to chase them down. 3 men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them, verse 2, from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." So it's like these men are going in a direction. They weren't going to Abraham's house, but Abraham has now stopped them and invited them to come to his house. Verse 4, "Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, make cakes upon the hearth." And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Let's pray, and we'll talk about Abraham's hospitality and kind of the results of that in this chapter and this episode in Abraham's life. Father, pray you'd help us this evening just learn your Bible and get out of these verses what we need to get out of these verses, learn to be welcoming people and particularly welcoming of you and your things and your people. And I pray that you would guide and direct each soul here this evening. Thank you for each soul that's here this evening. And I pray you'd feed your flock. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, throughout the Bible, you've got accounts of people showing kindness to prophets and preachers and different people who represented God on earth. And multiple times they're rewarded for that kindness. I think of the widow of Sarepta. I think it was Elijah that went to her, and she was running out of food. And Elijah says, "If you feed me, the oil's never going to run out. You're going to have as much food as you need for the rest of your life." And she did that, and she showed him kindness, and she was rewarded for the kindness. And the Lord took care of her after that forever, for all the days of her life. I think of the woman at Shunem, and Elisha stops by, and she had made a little place for a prophet's chamber for Elisha, and he stopped by and would stay there for however long he'd stay there. And told her one day, because she didn't have any children, that she was going to have a baby, have a boy. And the Lord blessed her for the hospitality and the kindness she showed to Elisha. And just over and over, there's these times and these accounts in the Bible where people are hospitable and welcoming to someone who represents God on earth, and some ambassador for the Lord, and the Lord looks at the person that showed kindness and blesses them for the kindness they showed. I mean, it reminds me even of what we said, what we're reading this morning in Matthew about you receive one of these little ones who believe in me, you've received me. It's like the Lord just puts himself in the place of this person. It says, if you'll receive this person, it's just like receiving me into your home. And so this is the original account of that. This is Abraham and Sarah. And you can't forget Sarah in this. I mean, when Abraham, I can't imagine what Sarah's face looked like and what she thought when Abraham ran in there and said, "Hurry up, make a meal. We've got these angels and the Lord himself. You need to make some cake. I'm gonna make some bread. I'm gonna go get the one of the calves and dress it and make this." And Sarah's just like, "Where did this come from? What are we doing?" But she does it. I mean, she is just as or more hospitable. Shows more hospitality or as much hospitality as Abraham himself does. And so they're a good welcoming couple for the Lord. And so they serve the Lord. They serve these men, and Sarah makes some bread, and Abraham gets the calf ready and cooks the meat and all that kind of thing, and prepares a meal. And so here's the first point in these verses. It's Abraham and Sarah did this. Abraham and Sarah, they made room for the Lord in their home. And that is something that is so different from us, from our world, from life. I mean, it seems like at every point in life, life is just trying to push the world. I should say, just the world is trying to push the Bible, push God, push Jesus Christ out, and get him out of the way as much as possible. Just get him out. And here's a couple. Here's Abraham and Sarah, and they, in spite of inconvenience. I mean, how inconvenient is this? He says it's the heat of the day. Abraham sees these men. He apparently knows who they are. Apparently knows these men represent God Almighty. And he wants them to come to his house, make sure they get a bath, make sure they get fed, make sure they have a place to rest. And all of this is going to cost Abraham. I mean, this isn't on anyone else's dime. This isn't anyone else doing this. This is Abraham and Sarah showing hospitality. And the point is that they make room for God in their home in spite of all the inconveniences that we use to make excuses not to have room for God. These folks, we go down the list, wash their feet, they rest themselves, they fetched a morsel of bread, let me comfort your hearts. He ran to meet him. He bowed himself. I mean, this is a welcoming man. And he is welcoming to the Lord and the Lord's ambassadors. He desires a visit with the Lord. He wants to bless the Lord. How about that? How about somebody that wants to bless God instead of wanting God to just bless them all the time? So here's Abraham, and he wants to be a blessing to God's people. How rare is that? Abraham truly is. He truly is a friend of God. He truly is. He serves God purposefully, not lazily. Even more so, Sarah accommodates Abraham's desire, and even though it sprung on her, she doesn't seem to I don't know, make too much of it. She just deals with it. But Abraham and Sarah, in spite of all the inconvenience this was to them, they make room for God's people. They make room for these angels. They make room for the Lord himself. And so there was room in their household for the Lord. The second thing is, because Abraham does this, and because Sarah does this, these men, they stop by. They eat, they get their meal, and because of this hospitality, Abraham and Sarah are now going to get more details on the promise. So watch what's said in verse 9. And they said unto him, these are the angels there, they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? Like, we're a couple of old people. How are we going to have children? And remember the chapter before. Abraham was the one that laughed in chapter before. Now Sarah laughs. But she doesn't sound like she laughs out loud. It's just sort of this. She hears the promise and she's sort of kind of within herself, you know, how is this going to happen? And then, verse 12, therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" There's a good question. "At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." So he repeats it. It's like, so 9 months is the time appointed to have a child. 9 months, I'll be back and you're going to have a child. And Sarah kind of laughed it off, and the angel says, or the Lord says to Abraham, "Why'd Sarah laugh? I wasn't making a joke. I'm just telling you what's going to happen." And Sarah's going to say, "Well, I didn't really laugh. I just," he says, "No, you laughed." Verse 15, "Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, thou did laugh." It's kind of like, here's the details. In 9 months, I'm coming back, and you're going to have a child. A child. We're a couple old people. How are we going to have a child? Oh, by the way, was that Sarah that I heard laugh? Why is she laughing about that? Well, I didn't laugh. No, you laughed. That was a laugh. I heard that. And so I don't know if the Lord found it funny that she laughed, but you know, the question is anything too hard for the Lord? That's a good question. Anything too hard for the Lord? Like, I didn't, when I said, I'm going to return and you're going to have a child, I wasn't making a joke about it. I'm telling you, you're going to have a child when I return in 9 months. And so, because of the hospitality, I want you to see how these things tie together. Because Abraham and Sarah accommodate the Lord in their home, now they've got more details about what's going to happen, and now the promise is becoming more and more of a reality. It's not just a general, your seed's going to be, you know, kings are going to come from you and things like that. Now you got a time frame. Now, 9 months, you're going to have a child. Abraham's going to be 100 years old. You're going to be 90 years old, and y'all are going to have a baby. And that is a result of their allowing and inviting these folks in. Then in verse 16, the Lord, it's kind of funny. The Lord has a little conversation, seems like, in his own mind about Abraham and his family. And he says in verse 16, "And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom." Remember, that's where they're going in the first place. They weren't going by Abraham's house. They're going to Sodom. Abraham invites them in. They have a meal. They wash their feet. They give Abraham and Sarah a little more information about the promise. Then they get up, and now they're back on their way to Sodom. "And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." I think he has in mind here, Jesus Christ is eventually going to be the one who does justice and judgment, who comes from Abraham. And it will be the generations of Jesus Christ that come out of this. Verse 20, "And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me. And if not, I will know." I'll just make these kinds of verses are so interesting to me. When the Lord says these things, like, I'm going to go down and see what's going on, and then I'll know what's happening. You know what? We always say this. Well, the Lord, He knows everything. And I don't want to downplay what the Lord knows, but why do you have verses in the Bible that say things like this? The Lord says, I'm going to go down to Sodom because I've heard a cry come up. I don't know if it's the cry of children in Sodom. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the cry is. But he said, I've heard a cry in Sodom. and I'm going to go check it out. And then after I check it out, then I'll know if the cry is real or if it's something else. So he says in verse 21, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So these men, they get back on their mission. We're headed to Sodom. And we're going there to find out if this place, you know, looks like San Francisco or Mardi Gras or whatever. And if it does, we're going to destroy it. And if it doesn't, then, you know, they'll have some time left. And so these men get back to their mission, these angels. And it's interesting, he calls them men over and over again. Men. Remember when God created man, he said, let us make man in our image. And now these angels are just described as men. Because the men are just going to go on and do what they were going to do in the first place. But in all this, the Lord had sort of had a conversation with himself or with these angels and debated whether he should tell Abraham what's going to happen and what he's even there for. And he decides, yeah, I'm going to tell Abraham what I'm doing here. This is why we came here, was to check on Sodom and Gomorrah. So he tells Abraham what he's doing, and you know what Abraham thinks immediately. Lot is there. These men are going to Sodom to figure out if it's wicked or not, and Abraham knows Sodom is wicked. And Lot's there. Abraham's daughter and, Lot would be his nephew. So however that relation is, he's got, I don't know, what is it, second cousins or whatever. his family, his extended family is there. And so when these men say, we're going to Sodom to check out the wickedness of it and see if the cry is what it seems to be, and if it is, we're going to destroy it. And immediately Abraham thinks, well, Lot's in Sodom. Verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I mean, it's a logical argument. I mean, if you're going there to find out the wickedness, there's wicked people there, but there's got to be somebody who's righteous there. And why would a just God, why would a just judge of all the earth, why would he destroy righteous people in the same way that he would destroy wicked people? That doesn't seem right. And so Abraham makes a case, and you know what the Lord says? I won't destroy it for 50. If I go there and I find 50, I won't destroy it. And the Lord said in verse 26, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. So it reminds me of the proverb where he says, you know, there's that a city can be spared for a righteous man or a wise man, something like that. That one wise man or one righteous man can save a city. I mean, he can be the reason that the city is spared. And so the Lord agrees with Abraham and says, no, if I find 50 righteous, I won't destroy Sodom. And that was kind of a long shot. And then Abraham says, well, what about 40? Abraham, verse 27, answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I'll not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again. and said, "Peradventure there shall be 40 found there." And he said, "I will not do it for 40's sake." And he said unto him, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there." And he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." You know, every time Abraham asks a question, the Lord says, "Yes, you're right. I will do exactly what you're asking me to do. If there's 50, I won't destroy it for 50. What if there's 45? If there's 45, yes, Abraham, I will withhold my judgment for 45. Okay, well, what if there's 40? Yes, Abraham, I will withhold my judgment for 40. Okay, what about 30? Yes, Abraham. He had every single prayer Abraham asked is a yes. God says yes to everything he asks. Verse 31, and he said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 20's sake." And he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. So it's a real interesting thing in this chapter. I mean, you got Abraham playing the mediator, a good picture of Jesus Christ, even though Jesus Christ is the righteous. But every time Abraham asks a favor of God or to withhold his judgment, every request is met with a yes. Yes, Abraham, for 20. I will spare the whole city for 20. What about 10? Yes, Abraham, I will spare the whole city. If I go in this massive city and I find 10 righteous people, then I will withhold my judgment. Just 10. I don't know how big Sodom and Gomorrah is. It'd be interesting to try to figure that out. But for 10 righteous people, the Lord says, if I find 10 there, I won't destroy it. Because you asked me not to, I won't destroy it. And that was the end of the prayers. I guess that was Abraham, maybe, I don't know what he was counting on, Lot and his family or whatever it was. But all through this is so interesting that the give and take and the fellowship and the communion that Abraham has with the Lord. He's close to the Lord. He makes room for the Lord, and because he makes room for the Lord, there's kindness showed to him. There's revelation. There's prophecy given to him, and the Lord halfway through the chapter says, "Well, should I tell Abraham what I'm doing here anyway?" And yeah, I'll tell him what I'm doing here. What I'm doing here is I'm going to check out Sodom and Gomorrah. And then immediately Abraham thinks, "Well, there's Lot over there. This is not going to be good if the Lord finds out Sodom is as wicked as the reputation is for it." So he makes these prayers, and the Lord says, "Yeah, I'll spare the city. If I just found 10 people in a city of 100,000 people, I'll spare the city because you asked me to. Because you asked me to." And so the Lord, or Abraham, he's a prophet. He's given information that other people don't have. And he's able to pray in a way that other people who don't even have the information can pray. And I mean, you think about that in relation to a saved soul now. You understand. One thing that separates godliness from ungodliness is godliness recognizes the coming judgment of God. Ungodliness doesn't recognize the coming judgment. So a person who is saved, who has been made righteous by the Lord Jesus Christ, you are privy to information that other people just don't believe is going to happen. You're privy to what happens after death. You're privy to God's judgment on this world. And so because you know some of these things, I mean, you and I, we pray, we have the, you know, we got the prayer list, and we pray for lost souls. You know why you pray for lost souls? Because you understand judgment. You understand what's coming. You understand the future of these things. And so Abraham is just like that. I mean, he has been given this information. He makes these requests to God, and the Lord obliges Abraham. And it reminds me of that verse, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the Lord answers yes to everything Abraham asks. Yes, yes, Abraham, yes, yes, I'll do that. And then, boy, chapter 19 is not going to be good, though. It's not good. But Abraham, just keep in mind the perspective of this whole thing. Abraham, when these men show up, their mission is to go to Sodom and Gomorrah and check out Sodom and Gomorrah. They're stopped along the way by Abraham, who shows hospitality. And because he shows hospitality, he's given all this information about what's about to happen. And because he's given all this information that stemmed from his hospitality, now he's able to communicate and pray intelligently to the Lord about things that are going to happen. And so the whole chapter is almost like Abraham, how he becomes a prophet, or how the Lord gives him this information. But it starts with, you know, Abraham being hospitable and showing hospitality. And Sarah, by the way, I don't want to leave Sarah out. She gets the stuff sprung on her too. But it's Abraham's hospitality, and this whole chapter is a result of Abraham and Sarah inviting these men in, the angels, the Lord, I guess it was the Lord himself, inviting them in and feeding them and washing them and giving them a place to rest and comforting their hearts. And because of all that, they get information and details about their child. They get information and details about the coming judgment that God's about to level if Sodom is exactly what he thinks it is. And then it gives Abraham some information to pray intelligently and ask something intelligent of the Lord. And so he begs God on behalf of his family, you know, just spare Sodom. The Lord says, I'll spare it. If I find 10, I'll spare it. And that's the end of the chapter. And then, of course, the next chapter picks up with these men showing up in Sodom. And it's not, it's exactly as wicked as everyone said it was. We'll pick that up in next week or so. But just remember, Abraham's hospitality. He makes room. His home has room for the Lord. And it is exactly contrary to the way the world is, and the way, I mean, a lot of so-called Christians think, you know, it's just more and more pushing God out of their lives and allowing the Lord to push God out of their lives. But not Abraham. Boy, he and Sarah, they make room for the Lord, and they make room at their own expense for the Lord. And so they're rewarded for it too. So that's Genesis 18, Abraham and Sarah's hospitality, and all the results of that in this chapter. Father, I pray it's been helpful. I pray that you would help us apply what we need to apply, and thank you for these words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ, and thank you for each soul that's here this evening. I pray you'd bless each soul for being here, and even those that are watching may not be able to be here. But thank you so much for a good Sunday, and I truly hope it's been helpful, and that your people have been fed, and look forward to seeing everybody Wednesday and Tuesday with the Ladies Fellowship and all the stuff we got going on this week. But thank you so much for this privilege, and I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.